Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring podcasts on the Blue Wire Network. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System yet, then you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. Wherever you are across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's Unified, UNIFYD, healing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
But yeah, Rob, like we've talked about, I mean, I think you had a lot more Team Rob supporters here in Western New York than maybe anybody realized. And we're just trying to convert them, you know, one at a time, slowly but surely.
I appreciate that.
A couple decades later, but yeah,
I'll
man.
Be able to come back.
Yeah. Are you planning on coming back anytime soon?
I mean, I'd love to take my sons to a game, of course. Like, I have four kids that are just there. I mean, we're so busy all the time, especially during football season. But I would love to, of course.
Awesome. Well, hey, we got Joe's with us now. Joe, what's happening?
Oh, my God. Nothing. I was day drinking. I just woke up, like, from a two-hour nap. So, hello. How you doing?
Well, I talked Rob's ear off, I think, for about an hour and a half this summer, so I don't want to monopolize this conversation. Nice. I mean, he's probably the best dude you'll meet who played the game, but you guys are going to see it here now. So, I mean, we'll take him as long as we'll take him here and just fire away with anything you want to ask him.
Oh, wow. All right, cool. How's it going?
Good. How are you?
Good, sir. How you doing? Sorry, I just woke up from like I was literally my fiance went to go cat
walk.
Yeah, so I just what do I want to ask? Gosh, you know it's funny we're playing the Chiefs tonight, and I remember I feel like your best game, maybe as a pro, was against the Chiefs. Like when you like I remember you had like a 3 touchdowns, you had an awesome like run for the end zone. I kind of remember that. Do you feel like that was maybe your best game? It was 2000. Do you feel that could have been your best game as a pro maybe?
It was probably the best play, but no, I played other games. Like I was NFL Player of the Week a few times, and that wasn't one of them. So, no, as far as best game, no. But, like, you know, the moment, all that stuff, yeah, it was a great play. I appreciate that. Thank you.
So, Rob, as Tyler knows, I am pro Johnson all the way. I hated futile magic like there was no tomorrow. It's like the guy played like shit the whole game and then had one drive. But what I hated most about him was that he undermined you every step of the way. That's unforgivable as a teammate, as a human being, or anything else in life. But I've told this story before on some of these calls. I was living in Florida when you were on Jacksonville. You came up to Buffalo to play the Bills, and I was right behind the Jacksonville bench. And I was like, hey, Rob, get away from that heater. You're going to be in Buffalo next year. And you kept looking at me like, no, I'm not. No, I'm not, shaking your head. And lo and behold, you're in Buffalo the next year. And I was so happy.
I remember that, believe it or not. I totally remember that. I was like, how's this guy know? Like, the way you were saying it was like you knew. And then when it happened, I was like, holy crap. I don't know. But I appreciate your support. How do you know that he undermined me? That's all.
Well, Tyler had it. It was obvious just from like a guy like me watching the games. But then when Tyler wrote the article on Go Long, and that's pretty much what I took away from it.
Okay. Smart.
Well, there was, I'm sure, I think, Joe, you probably alerted me to it. But was it Bucky Gleason wrote that column, like when you guys played San Diego? And I think that opened up a lot of people's eyes. Like, holy crap, like Doug isn't exactly what he is perceived to be, you know, in that locker room. You know, Bucky talking to a lot of the teammates then on how he was trying to connive things behind the scenes. I mean, do you remember that, Rob?
Oh, yeah. Like the anonymous quotes to, you know, people, like I knew who it was because the stuff he'd say no one else would care about besides quarterbacks. And the guys on the team would tell me, like, you know, the stuff he'd say, and even with the fans, like autograph wise, I think I told you this, but like we'd agree not to sign one day at camp, and then he would sneak out back of the locker room and go out and sign for like 30 minutes, and it made us look like like jerks, and it worked, I guess. But yeah, not my bag. I don't like that stuff.
It's got to be so stressful in the moment too, when there's so much at stake. Like, I know it's been 2 decades, but God, I mean, mentally, game to game, when the emotions were what they were. I mean, I was just a kid, you know, living in Ellicottville then, but I can remember how emotional it was for fans. I can't imagine being Rob Johnson those couple years.
It would, when I look back at it now, I was such a kid, and I just, it was my first chance to start, and I wish I had like a free run at it, but it wasn't the case, like just to have your own team. And it was so divisive. And when we were good, it was fine, as long as we were winning. But, you know, those last couple of years, even our third year together, we were 8-8, but we had a ton of injuries. We had a good team. But after the playoff game, they kind of blew up a lot of it. And then after that, they just – I mean, we were worse than what Jacksonville is now. Like, people don't realize it. But that – my last year in Buffalo, we were not a good football team. Like, we – not, yeah, I mean, so, but yeah, I mean, everything ends bad. It ended up sucking at the end, but like for 3 years, of course, I wish it was all mine, but you know, the back and forth, you know, wore on you a lot. You're right. It you don't realize it now until you look back at it, but I don't know.
Can I ask, Rob, have you talked to Flutie at all, like since you guys, like, he left, and like, have you guys ever had a conversation? If not, if you could talk to him, okay, so you haven't. If you could say one thing to him, is there, what would you say to him if you saw him right now and he was like, hey, Rob, like, what would you say to him?
I would be cordial. Like, I knew who he was. So, like, it wasn't a shock to me. I had been warned by other people. Believe it or not, Tony Eason reached out to me because he was in New England with him. He said, hey, I know it hasn't had, he goes, just be careful. Like, people were already warning me about it, but I didn't think it was that big of a deal. I didn't know, you know, being from California, I knew Doug Flutie, but he had been gone for so long, I didn't think it was that big of a deal that they signed him. I didn't realize what a cult icon he was up in the, you know, Northeast, and so it wasn't that big of a deal until, you know, the whole thing took off. So we were roommates on the road the first 2 years, and it, you know, so it wasn't like any ill feelings until I started playing well and he was backing up. I don't know. No ill feelings. I mean, I hope he's doing great, and I don't know. I've moved on.
Yeah. Fill us in a little bit. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Don.
I was just going to say, I can't believe I'm being roommates with somebody that you had, like, I wouldn't say animosity, but obviously a conflict. And like in college, when you live with somebody, it's awful. Here, you had to just do it for like one night. I couldn't take it.
See, the thing is, it didn't get bad until, so we started off the year tough. We lost like 2 close road games, and we had a big win against the 49ers, who was undefeated. And we played Indy the next week, and I got hurt like in the second quarter, but it was Indy was like 2-14. It was Peyton's rookie year. And then we got on a roll, and it all took off. And I separated rib cartilage, I think, kind of I think Breeze had it this last year. So I missed like 4 weeks, and we were winning, and I'm a coach's son, and I understood not going back at that point. So it wasn't like I was like, oh, I'm getting screwed, and I didn't feel sorry for myself. I kind of understood we got on a roll, we were hot, and, you know, Wade just want to keep it that way. It got bad. The next year was really – like, Doug didn't play as well. We had a great defense. And that's when I started to get a little upset that I wasn't getting put in. We were winning, but we were winning because we had a great run game and we had a great defense. And I just thought I deserved a chance to get back in then. And then so that's when it started getting a little bit annoying. So, you know, just as long as he was playing and everything was fine, then it was all good.
Man. And I definitely want to, you know, see, I mean, we talked about it a little bit in that Q&A, but like, let the folks know here, like, what you're up to today. But real quick, before I forget, Rob, because we kind of, I think we just skimmed right past it when we were talking about the Music City Miracle. But you said at halftime, like, there was almost a fight, right? Like, Belichick, yeah, and the guys on deep. What happened then?
John and Bruce, I don't know why they were fighting, because they were actually the only ones playing. We absolutely sucked on offense in the first half. We should have been fighting on offense. we should have been fighting each other. I don't know what it was about. I think if I was to guess, and I don't know this, but like, I would say that John probably thought Bruce was pass rushing and not helping out with the run. Maybe that's the only thing I could would think of, because I know Bruce played really well. He had 3 sacks in the game. That's the only thing I could think of. I don't know, to be honest. I don't know what the fight was about. I guess it woke us up, though.
Ty, you didn't say that right. It's the Music City forward lateral. It's not the Music City right here.
I don't know.
Rob, I have a question for you. You were mentioning how at times, you know, you enjoyed it dealing with Buffalonians when times were good on the field, but, you know, it was a little, it got sour quick. You know, I'm curious for your perspective. You know, you come in, we're just coming off of Marv, you know, we're removed from the Super Bowl era, but we had not settled into our fate of the drought yet, obviously, you know, you being in that infamous playoff game. How different do you think it would have been for you to come in mid-drought or end drought the way that Josh has? Like, how different would the expectations and the pressure be, and what would your relationship with the fans be like if you were looked at for hope rather than continuation?
Yeah. Because Buffalo, I think in the 90s was the most winningest organization in sports. I think in the 90s, we were up there. And so there were those, you know, Super Bowl or bust expectations. I didn't care. I mean, that's why you play. I didn't realize what a veteran team it was, to be honest. I didn't, like, they're on the tail end of all the, you know, the Super Bowl run. So a lot of those contracts were about to hit. I didn't realize that it was about to be a total reset. You know, like I said, I was like 24. I didn't think about that stuff. I was just excited. Everyone had talked about what a great organization Buffalo was. No one wanted to actually go there, right, free agent wise, just because of they hear about how bad the weather is and stuff. But everyone knew with Butler and Marv for all those years, and then Wade, it was just such a – and Mr. Wilson, just what a family organization it was. And, you know, it had just 5-star reputation around the league. So I was just excited. Josh, you know, came in probably at a perfect time, and he is taking advantage of it, and it's awesome. I love you guys deserve a few Super Bowls, and hopefully he can bring them to you guys.
I just think about, you know, I got my EJ jersey. I have my Tyrod all over print t-shirt. You know, I got all my old Trent Edwards stuff in the closet, and like, you know, because we were just desperate. Yeah, you know, we were clinging on to anything, right, anyone, you know, put up 21 points in a game. And you just came in at such a different juncture. You know, the vibe was just so much different. I think you probably could have gotten a fairer shake if you were 6 years later.
Yeah, you know what? That's a good point. Like, looking back, I mean, I got hurt too much, and, you know, I wasn't smart always when I played, as far as taking hits and sacks and that stuff. I mean, now that I've coached for so long, I wish I actually coached before I played. Just understanding, you know, what the coaches want, and just understanding the game that much better. And I came from a coach's son. My dad was a quarterback guru, you know, quotation marks, you know, he's one of the best quarterback coaches. So I was around it a lot, but I don't think you fully understand it until you start coaching it and teaching it to younger people. And I gave you everything I had on, like, when I went out there, and you know, I wanted to win a Super Bowl for the area and for Mr. Wilson so bad, and Butler and all those guys. I mean, it just, yeah, I got, like you said, it started off really good the first couple of years, and then it soured really fast. Yeah.
Hey, Rob, you know, we always heard, like, from, like, the, like, your days, there was, like, the Flutie camp and, like, the Rob camp in the locker room. Do you at all know, like, who was on your side player-wise? I don't know if you name names, but, like, was it, like, really 50-50 you felt? Like, we're, like, I don't know, like, Eric Moles went up to you and was like, dude, I got your back. You're the man. You should be you. Or was it, like, you heard Shatter? Like, could you put together, like, the Johnson team versus the Flutie team of guys, like, who had your back, basically, versus had Flutie's back? Like, do you remember, like, at that point?
It wasn't, like, you know, the Bloods and the Crips, or, you know, like, it wasn't like that, I don't think. I would say the players would – they didn't even care. As long as we were winning, and most of the time at that point we were doing well and winning, you know, I don't know. I probably the older guys were more with Doug and the young guys were more with me. I'd say, I don't even know though, yeah, to tell you the truth. You know, it wasn't divided like that. I don't think, they all laughed at it and just, our defense was so good at that point. As long as we didn't screw it up too much on offense, we'd be all right. So I don't know.
To that point, like, I remember doing, when we first talked, I think, Rob, I was at the Buffalo News in 2015, and I did, like, an oral history on that all. And I tried to figure that out. Like, just the tone of guys' voices when they thought back it. And, man, it was still hard. Like, I feel – man, I think John – it might have been John Holacek. And, God, I wish I knew about that fight then. But when we talked, I thought he put it perfectly. He's like, you know, the thinking was, we've got this defense. We've got this rocket-armed Rob Johnson that you saw in that Colts game. You pair it together. Super Bowl runs. I'm like, maybe he's on that. And I couldn't figure out Molds. No, I thought he was Team Rob. And then we had him on the podcast, and he's like talking about with Doug, it was more like backyard football, just kind of winging it. And he liked that. So I can't figure out where he stood.
Okay. So Molds he was just so gifted physically, like speed and strength and great hands, but he wasn't like a typical route runner. And so that makes sense now. You just said that. He wasn't like, hey, you know, just dial me up the routes for you, you know, and I'll run it. He was just, give me the ball in a slant, give me a ball in a go. And he was so physical and strong. So, yeah, I could see him pairing with Doug really nice, just that back street stuff. Receivers just care, honestly, about receivers, right? They want to get their yards and catches, and whoever's getting the ball, they don't care. But yeah, Eric was phenomenal.
Can I ask, what was it like? Like, one of your better games I remember was actually you against the Chargers when it was like you versus John Flutie, like in 2009. Like, how was that, like, that whole lead in for that game? Like, did you put like a ton of pressure on yourself? Like, I need to kick this guy's ass. Like, for that game, like, how did you feel going into that game? And, like, what do you remember about that game? Because that was a great game. I remember.
Yeah, it was a good game. I was so excited to play that game. And, again, we lost because we gave up a long kick. I don't know if you remember. We took the lead, and we gave up a long kick return down to the 10, and Doug ran one in. But, like, we had it. Like, if we could just, you know, make him drive the whole field, I think we'd have won. And then we drive back down and we get a field goal blocked to win it. So, like, it was kind of like it kind of summed up my career in Buffalo. Like, you know, like, play well, lose it at the end, lose, you know, left the game with a lead and then lose it. I don't know. It's, yeah, that game was back and forth. And, again, I live an hour from San Diego, so I had a lot of family and friends there. So it always meant a lot playing back in California for me. too as well. But yeah, that was, I mean, there was a lot of media. I don't think either team was that great, so it wasn't, you know, that important, but it was really important to me.
Rob, what's life like for you today? We've talked about, you know, the hits you took, the concussions. I mean, I imagine you're dealing with the aftershock of a lot of that, but you're also helping your dad out, and you're also doing dad stuff around the clock. I mean, I can't imagine how you're balancing everything on your plate now.
It's awesome. And I say a little something to Ralph every day for letting me have this opportunity to do this, just because he traded for me and gave me that amount of money to be able to do all this stuff. Like, if I had to work full time, I probably couldn't do all that stuff, but like, you guys all work full time and probably do a lot of the same stuff. So, I mean, I coach high school, which takes up, you know, time during football season, but then it's all kid stuff. I coach right now 5 different, youth teams, which is, I know it's so stupid. Like, I just can't say no. And my kids actually enjoy being around me still. So I'm like, I got to eat that up. And then my dad, he just got put into a home like a month ago. So that has taken off a little more, you know, freed up a little more time, which is good, but it also sucks, you know, seeing your pops in a home. But yeah, I mean, you just figure it out. You just juggle. And I mean, it could be a lot worse. Yeah. My body's holding up, you know, somewhat. So go from there.
Man, good for you. I just, yeah, I can't imagine, like, that has to be tough with your dad. I mean, you have such a positive outlook on life. How have you kind of managed to get through that with your dad's health? And, you know, I saw after the fact how your sister-in-law is like really big into Beachbody. It's Charlene. Yes. What's her name again?
Shalene. Yeah, everyone Shalene. Says Charlene.
Shalene, yeah. And Charlene, she documents a lot of that too. My mom was showing me, like, I had no idea.
Yeah, she's my sister-in-law. And yeah, it's been, they had them full time for a while, you know, just because their kids are out of the house. My 4 kids would have drove him nuts. He'd have probably killed one of them. But how I look at it with my dad, like, our family, we haven't had too many like tragedies, like, you know, like crazy stuff happened. Like, you know, everyone's, knock on wood, been fairly healthy and lived a good life. And so I look at my dad, like, he had 70 something years of an unbelievable life, and now it sucks, but like, I don't know, it's the end, I think. The end always sucks. So it's been tough, but like, I just, he was so blessed and he had an amazing life, and he got to work with his 2 sons. I look at it now, like, he got to coach with me and my brother Brett for like 10-12 years. I'm just thinking back, like when I get that age, if I had that opportunity to be with my kids for that long, it, you know, he would hate to be where he's at right now. I know that he wouldn't want to, he would rather us take him out back and, you know, put him away out of his misery, so to speak. He would not want this. He was such a proud alpha male type. So that bugs me a little bit, but yeah, he had, for the most part, he had a great life.
Hey Rob, I have a question about when you got put back in before the Tennessee Bills playoff game. There's all these rumors that, like, and you may have alluded to this earlier and I may have not been on the call, but like, there was rumors like Ralph, like, made the call, like Mr. Wilson told like Wade Phillips, like, you got to put him in. Do you know what went into that, like, that decision at all? And also, like, were you kind of like shocked by like, oh my God, they're putting me back in, like, in the playoffs? Like, what did you hear about, like, what the behind the scenes was when they went from Flutie to you before that playoff game?
So Monday morning, Wade calls me after the Indianapolis game, and so our offense had been struggling for a while, and we put up, I think, 30, I don't even know how many points we put up. We didn't really even play much in the second half, and we looked really good, right? And Indy wasn't laying down because I think they were playing for something. Anyways,
home field advantage they were playing for, I remember.
So it was a legit game, and we'd have had to play him to go to the Super Bowl if that Music City wouldn't have happened, I think. Anyways, so Wade comes up to me and goes, Rob, you're starting this week. And the first thing I said to him, it's funny you mentioned that, I said, is this your call or is it Ralph's call? And he looked at me and said, it's my call. And I said, let's go. And I thought the same thing. Because Ralph and I always had a great, Mr. Wilson and I had a great relationship. And I don't know. I really love that man. And I wish, you know, things would have worked out differently in that game. But, you know, that would have been a legit chance to go and do something. But, yeah, I had the same thoughts. I was like, hey, wait, is this you or is this Ralph? And he said it was him. I don't know if I believe him, but I was like, let's go. But, yeah, it was that quick Monday morning. So I don't know. Ralph could have been, I don't know.
Yeah, it was one of those things I do remember, like, after the fact. Like, I think it was when, like, everyone left. Like, once you left and Flutie left, like, it became, like, kind of known, like, it was Mr. Wilson who made that call. Like, and I even think they did, I don't know if you saw this, but, like, NFL Network did, they have that one series. I forgot what it's called. It's, like, a profile show.
Yeah.
And they did Doug Flutie, and Wade basically said, like, oh, that was, like, he basically threw, Ralph under the bus. Like, it was his call,
Could be a politician move, too, because I wasn't liked as much and thought of as much. So, he could have just been, like, saving his ass. Yeah, I don't know. Whatever. It is what it is. We wouldn't have done any, like, Doug said we'd have won if he was starting. I think afterwards. And my comment was, if you're on special teams, maybe you could have made the tackle. But yeah, we had that game. It was a tough game. Our long snapper, Ethan Albright, was warming up to go in at left tackle because we had that many injuries in that game. It was so bad. Oh my God. So bad. Thank God he didn't have to go in though.
That's right. I remember that. Man. So now that the game started here too, and
obviously, oh yeah, you guys want to get to that? Well, I want to get to that.
The last one here while we have you, your connection with Josh Allen, we hit on a little bit, but let these guys know.
Okay, so indirectly, I'm helping Buffalo because Jordan Palmer. Well, see, this is bullshit too. Sorry, but I don't want to take anything away from the coordinator in Buffalo. He's a really good one. What's his name? Daboll, right? Brian Daboll, right? Is he? Yeah, okay.
Yeah, yep.
So, anyways, Jordan Palmer, who my dad trained Carson Palmer since he was like 9 or 10. He had Jordan the same amount of time. Coached him in high school, developed all those guys. Anyways, now Jordan's the guy that fixed Josh Allen, which is total bullshit. But Josh just worked his ass off. Jordan puts him through great workouts, right? He's been coached by the best. So, like, Jordan does a great job. But, like, I just hate these quarterbacks because I used to be one of those quarterback guys. Like, we put him through workouts. We fixed little things here and there. But all that shit with the hips, like, that Dak does and all that stuff, like, do you ever see him in a game do that? Or, like, you're throwing off a million different platforms. You're getting hit. Like, basically, just shut up. We put him through workouts. Josh Allen worked his ass off. He got better. And, you know, but indirectly we coached up Jordan so he could help Josh, who's now going to lead you guys to a Super Bowl. So I'll take that over my 4 years there.
And you're being humble with your dad too. I mean, your dad really is the preeminent. I mean, he really started the whole trend of these quarterback coaches that we talked to.
Yeah, he started Elite 11. So he started that whole thing and him and this guy named Steve Clarkson, whose son is actually on Bosco's high school team out here, which is I think top three in the nation always. I don't know if you've heard of Modern Day and St. John Bosco football. They cheat, they recruit everyone, but Clarkson and my dad were the two guys that did all the pros and worked people out like that.
Awesome. Well, man, I think my timing, we had you on here. You have so many stories, but maybe with this game going on, people are like, I'm just going to stay dialed in.
Anytime, just hit me up. And if I'm not like driving up to Knott's or fishing, I'll be here, man.
Awesome, Rob. Hey, thanks so much, man. Always great catching up.
Great seeing you guys. I can actually see you guys. I don't think you can see me, but
Hey, cool.
Good talk. We'll do it again. Talking to you,
Thank
sir.
You. Thank you, man.
See ya.
Go Bills.